Good morning. Please turn to John's Gospel. It's one of my favorite, in fact, it is my favorite Gospel of the four. But John stands out in his Gospel, all from the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Of the Synoptic Gospels, Luke is my favorite. But I guess you're not supposed to have favorite parts of God's Word. I suppose it's all God's Word. But there are some things that I naturally just turn to because they seem to fit my needs as a Christian, and they speak so many things to us. But in John's Gospel, I'd like to start at the very beginning. I don't know how we will get through all of it, but I'll try to be brief and to the point. But in John's Gospel, it is the Gospel. And what is the Gospel? The Gospel is the death, burial of our Lord Jesus Christ and his rising again because of our sins. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Scripture. And then he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again according to the Scripture. You must have all three of those parts just as it's presented in order to have a gospel message. Now, the gospel, the word gospel means good news. Well, sometimes it's bad news for those who are not saved. In other words, there are people that don't know that they're lost. So how can they trust Christ for the gospel? How can they be saved? You must realize, of course, that you're lost. God the Father has, in fact, God the Holy Spirit and God the Son, has concluded all under sin. In the book of the Romans, to the Romans, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you don't know you're a sinner, God says you are, and he cannot let you into his heaven. Heaven is only for people who are saved. We see a lot of books about people who supposedly died and went to heaven and came back. That doesn't happen. There was one recently, not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years, about a young child, young boy, who went to heaven and he came back and he said, well, I saw Jesus, I saw this, that, and the other thing. And now, he said, that's all. It's not true. It wasn't true. None of it was true. He just made it up. And the parents have sold books concerning this, and so on, and so on, and so on. The Bible says, in order to get to heaven, you must be saved. In order to be saved, you're not saved without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must know the gospel. First, you must see yourself as a sinner on your way to a lost eternity. Now, you may say lost eternity, you may say hell, you may say you're not going to heaven. I don't know if everybody here is saved. So that's why I'm giving you the gospel. First, you must realize that you're lost. You're not going to heaven. Then you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when people get saved. They first have to find out that they're lost. They need a Savior, and it's not going to be them or anyone else except one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you know if you're lost? Well, that's a great question. How do you know? God the Holy Spirit, everybody has a conscience. Some people have a seared conscience. Some people have a dull conscience. Some people have almost no conscience. Those are psychotic people, supposedly. That's what it's called. That's why it's called that. They have no conscience. They can do things to other people, in other words, and it doesn't bother them. That's where you get your serial killers and all the others that are like that. They seem to have no conscience. But everybody has a conscience. And everybody, it's the voice of God. That's why God gave everybody a conscience. So he can get your attention. You can know right from wrong. You ever feel guilty about something that you've done? Well, if you're not saved, that's your conscience at work. Let me put it another way. Would you like all your most private thoughts, words, and deeds on a billboard someplace where everybody can see it? Of course not. I wouldn't want that. Neither would you, and neither would anyone else. Because we all know in our own heart that we're sinners. But here's the good news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, that's bad news. When I got saved, I already knew that before I ever got saved. Somebody pointed that out to me in the Bible. I didn't want to hear it. I said, please, I know all of that. Tell me how to get saved. Tell me how to go to heaven. Don't tell me I'm going to hell. I know that. I didn't want to be, it was like rubbing salt into my wounds. And graciously, he turned to John's gospel, the same gospel we're reading this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's John 3:16, that whosoever believeth on him, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about himself and about you and about me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What's the rest of it? Most of us know it, that whosoever believeth on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish. That's God's word for going to hell. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life, forever. Now, eternity is eternity past, we call it, and eternity future. It's all eternity, and right now you have to get on eternity. You're going to be in eternity somewhere or somehow, somewhere, either heaven or hell. The Bible only knows of two places. Now, how do you know that you're a sinner? Well, we all know that we've sinned. We all do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in your place and in my place. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Why should I trust him? Why should I believe him? Because God said so. That's why. It's God's word, the Bible. Now, what if you don't believe the Bible? Well, if you don't want to believe the Bible, and I can understand that, if you're a sinner, the Bible calls you a sinner. I don't want to be told I'm a sinner. I want good news. I don't want bad news. But in order to have the good news, you must have the bad news. The bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, the moment we've all been waiting for. We'll get into God's Word. We want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And right from the beginning, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. What is the word? Word is a language. It's a word. We all know what words are. We use them every day. In the beginning was the word, but this is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Now get this last part, very important, very, very important. And the word was God. The word was with God, and the word was God. Now, that sounds very strange. It sounds like they're talking about two persons, and they are. That's God the Father and God the Son. God was with, and the same was in the beginning, the Word, was in the beginning with God. That's God the Son. Now, look at verse 3. All things were made by him. They didn't just happen. They were made, intentionally made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him, a person, it's a him, was what? Life. And this life was the light of men. Now, it sounds like double talk. This is not the way people talk today, is it? Well, it's God that's talking. And God doesn't talk like people talk, but he does talk to people in words that they can understand if you stop and think about the words that are written down. And it says, in him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Funny thing about light, you can have a flashlight, but you can't have a dark light, can you? In other words, if I turn on a dark light, do I have a beam of darkness that goes out? No. Light is energy. Darkness is nothing. It's not energy. It has no life or light of its own. But it seems like we're all walking in the darkness, doesn't it? You close your eyes. We were in a meeting for a number of years, Charlene and I, with our children, and there were several blind people there. And one was blind from birth. She was a school teacher at Perkins Institute for the Blind. Wonderful woman, saved. And I asked her one time, I says, you're going to go to heaven, you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. And she's been blind all her life, since birth. And she said, I'm going to heaven, that's right. I said, won't it be great to see the Lord Jesus? She says, well, that's not really the most important thing I want, is to see. This is a woman that's blind. I used to have to walk her home from the meeting on Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights and walk her home because it was dark and it was a bad neighborhood. Right? So she's going along with her cane. And she's actually leading me, but I walked her to her door. And she said, what I really want is the Lord Jesus Christ to hug me. She said, I don't care so much about seeing. I thought that was really something, because I took my eyesight for granted, you know, and she took her blindness for granted. All she really wanted to do was to experience the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that she couldn't hear. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, and he's still a body. Before the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, he was in the form of God, the Bible says. He was a spirit. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come here? Because God is holy and he hates sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means everybody. Everybody that is lost, he came to save them. Did you ever know that you were lost? If you don't know that you're lost, you can't be saved. And if you did die in that condition without knowing that you're lost, you will not go to heaven. You can't. God says you can't. You have nothing to go to heaven with. Jesus Christ our Lord, who loved more than anyone ever else could love, because he's God the Son, and he gave himself for you and me, he says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. You cannot. And he told the truth all the time. In fact, the Bible says that he is the truth. A person can be the truth, and it's him. I'm not the truth. I can tell you the truth because I'm reading the Bible. But I'm not the truth. You have to go by what God says. So, all right, so maybe you don't know that you're lost. Well, you don't know that you're lost, or you can't know that you're lost until God the Holy Spirit acts upon you and tells you you need to be saved. You're not going to go to heaven. That's called conviction of sin. And that's when you're ready to be saved. If you can't stay unsaved any longer, don't make a false profession and say, okay, I'll join up. That's not it. You're still in your sins. If that's your attitude, you're still in your sins. You don't join up. You wait on the Lord. I'll make a deal with you. You want to know if you're saved or not? Why don't you ask God if you're saved? That's one prayer that God will always answer, and he'll show it to you, because he doesn't want you to be lost, and he'll answer that prayer. Just in a moment, when you want to pray, say, God, would you let me know whether I'm going to heaven or hell? Do it. I didn't have to answer that prayer. I didn't have to ask that prayer. I knew, and most people know, that they're not ready to meet God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, let's skip to verse 9 in chapter 1. He's talking about the Lord Jesus in verse 6, 7, and 8. He's talking about John the Baptizer. But in verses 9, 10, and so on, he's talking again about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You ever see that before? I worked for many years in a place that had bad lighting. You know how a craftsman finds out if he's got good light or not? He drives a nail into his bench. Boom! No shadow. All the way around that nail, there's no shadow. You've got good light. No shadows. That means the light is equal all the way around, and you can see what you're doing. Drive a nail into the bench. No shadow. A shadow is absence of light. That means there's something wrong with the light that's there. So make the correction. How about the Lord Jesus? He's the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You can't hide from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the divine standard. Like I told you about that nail in the bench, no shadow. The Lord Jesus Christ had no shadow as far as darkness is concerned. He was a real man, and when he walked in the sunlight, he cast a shadow. I'd love to be that close to the Lord Jesus Christ to be in his shadow, I'll tell you. That's close to the Lord Jesus. But there was no shadow of darkness with him. None. None at all. He's perfect. He's God manifest in the flesh, God in shoe leather, walking down the street. And he looked just like everybody else, but he wasn't. He never sinned. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God. He himself said that about himself. He could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The people he was talking to, when they heard that, they were ready to stone him. They thought he was being a blasphemer. Oh my goodness. No. He was telling the absolute truth. In fact, the Bible says that he said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto God the Father except through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way of salvation. Now, not everybody that he healed got saved necessarily. Some did. Some did not, perhaps. His mercy extended to everybody, whether they were saved or not. He loved everybody, and God loves you whether you're saved or not. God loves you. He loved me before I ever got saved. I wasn't one of his children until I got saved, but I did get saved. And what did God do? He welcomed me into his family. When I got saved, I did not love God. That sounds strange. I did not love God until I got saved. I hated God. I was afraid of God. I didn't want God. I was running away from God. I didn't want to be anywhere near God, but God is everywhere. He caught up to me, and if you're saved, he caught up to you too. And he wants you to be his child. I had a foster sister one time. As far as I know, she's still alive out on the Boston North Shore. But when she was just little, we had her for a little over 2 years. And what happened was, how they got her, I was a 17-year-old kid in high school. And we had all boys in my family. She was the only little girl, our little foster child. We had her from the age of 5 months old until she was 2.5 years old. I wanted my parents to adopt her. I loved that kid. Her feet never touched the floor. We used to play with her all the time. I mean, we loved her. We were crazy about her. You know what they did? The state of Massachusetts says, I asked my parents, can we adopt her? And my parents told me, said, no. They said we've got too many kids already. We want her to go to a family that maybe has one other kid or maybe no kids. We want her to go to that. So what they did, they didn't tell us this. We were all in school, and the state came and took the child and brought her and put her in a room with a whole bunch of other children, and the prospective adoptive parents were all around the room. My mother told me this. And they're looking at these kids, and they're watching them play, and 1-year-old child, maybe just starting to walk, a little older maybe, a little younger maybe, but playing all together, how they get along with other kids. This child was born out of wedlock. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child. Let me tell you that. There are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. That's an unfortunate name for them. They're not illegitimate. Every child is precious, precious, unspeakably precious. Well, this little kid, the parents would look at him. Then the parents would be invited to go and play with the child, see how you interact with them. Do you like them? Well, this little girl got chosen. And so they took her and said, well, I'm going to bring her back to her foster home, which was us. And then in a couple months, when all the paperwork was cleared up, they came and got her. And they didn't tell us about it. They told my mother. And when I came home from school that day, trade school in Worcester here, I came home, there's my mother sitting in the chair crying. Mom, what's the matter? And where's Jeannie? She says they came and got her. Well, now see, that's a sad thing. I was stunned. Everybody was shocked and stunned. There's a member of your family gone. Like that, just gone. We're never supposed to see her again. They won't tell you where she is. No, she's all right, but for now, but where is she? See, this is the thing that God feels about you. God made you. The Lord Jesus Christ said your very hairs on your head are numbered, and he's not kidding. He means it. Why do you think you have your own DNA? Why do you think you have your own fingerprints that no one else has? There's so many other things probably that science hasn't discovered yet. God loves you. That's why he made you. You're not an accident. It was intentional that God created you. God created me for a special reason. He loves you. He loved you before he made you. And he knew you were coming into this earth. And he knew you were a sinner. You can't help it. God doesn't blame you for being a sinner. Did you know that? He doesn't blame you. That's why you were born. If he blamed you for being a sinner, you wouldn't have been born. Because he could see the future, and he says, oh, no, not that one. God doesn't do that. God creates people because he loves them. And he wants them to be with him forever in heaven. Do you know that hell was not created for people? The Bible never says that. The Bible never says hell was created for humans. It says it was created for the devil and his angels. Not for you and not for me. It's God's intention that you would be saved. So what did God do? Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John 3, we'll read it. The written word and the spoken word combine to get the point across. the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would soon go to the cross to bear your sin and my sin. We gather here in the Lord's Supper this morning. Why? To help us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember him. How could I forget him? He lives within me. He saved me. Well, people do forget. He knows that we're human, and he makes allowances for that. He says, come here and remember me. Here's some bread, and here's a cup. And you take the bread and the cup, but you remember me in my death until I come back for you. And it's only for Christians. It's only for those who have been saved. If you're not saved this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know about him. That's what I'm here doing, teaching you. I'm trying to. I'm learning more about him myself. About the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you get to know him more as you get saved and you're walking with him. You know how you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you do what he says. But if he was standing here, I would put my toe on his heel like this. And I would hug him like this. He'd probably say, Mike, stop. But that's the idea. You want to be as close as you can be to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him as close as you can. Your toes on his heels as he walks. And then you'd be able to see, you'd be able to feel his heartbeat if you had your arms around him. I'm just telling you, I love him. I love him more now than I did when I first got saved. Why? Because I know him better. I began to know him the moment I got saved. I knew about him before I got saved. I thought he hated me. I didn't love God before I got saved. Didn't want anything to do with him. I was afraid of him. I was running away. God got me. He gave me the gospel and told me, he says, look, you're going to go to hell. I said, I know that. I just don't want to think about it. I love my sin. If it feels good, do it. That's what sin does. It feels good. The Bible says so. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes the pleasure is not enough. What happens is when you realize that this same pleasure, that's why people give up smoking, that's why they give up drinking, they like doing it, but there's a price to be paid, either through your health or your family or some other price that you're not willing to pay, that's why you give up that sin. I gave up my sin because I knew it was going to kill me. It was going to send me to hell. And I could not stand before God, which I knew I was going to have to do. And he's going to tell me to go into a place that I didn't want to go. So what did I do? When somebody told me that I could be saved, I says, really? I didn't think I could. Somebody told me you can be saved. You can have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. I said, I'll do it. And I did it. And the person that told me that said, what? He never saw anybody like me before. What? I says, now, right now, what do? He said, tell God, talk to God, say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Will you save me? The answer is already written in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise means no wise. He will never, 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 never. Don't forget who he is. He's God. Manifest in the flesh. Never cast out. He will never do that. Do you want to be saved? All my friends, it's a new life. A new life, that's what it means to be born again. Don't be afraid. Do it. I can tell you, I've had it both ways. I remember being unsaved. I know what it's like. And I know what it's like to be saved. I've been saved over 50 years. And I'm enjoying it now more than I've ever enjoyed it. And next week I'm going to enjoy it even more than I enjoy it now. Because I'm closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as time goes by. And I read his word, I think about him, I pray about him, I thank God for him. I'm telling you, it's a better life than what you could possibly have now. Possibly. Take it from people who know, who've been both places. I can tell you that this is better. There was an old woman one time in show business, named was Sophie Tucker. She was Jewish. One of the last things she said, an old lady, she was a show woman, she's old and fat, like me, and she said, they asked her, what about your life? She said, well, she said, I've been poor and I've been rich. Rich is better. Rich, being rich is better than being poor. Well, I don't know how she stands with the Lord Jesus Christ, but she had it right. I can tell you that being in Christ, in the riches of Christ, spiritual riches, is better than not having those things. Anybody that is saved, really saved, can tell you, I don't want to go back there. I'm happy now. This is better. It's better to have the Lord Jesus Christ. It's better. It's better. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Do you know that God doesn't really tell you that much about heaven? He tells you more about hell because he doesn't want you to go there. But you have to make up your own mind. Now, why doesn't God force you to be saved? You ever think of that one? Why doesn't God just say, well, just save everybody? No. You know yourself, if you're old enough to be sitting in this meeting, you know yourself. You ask yourself this question, would I rather be forced to love somebody or rather love them on my own? How about the people you know? Would you rather have them choose to love you or be forced to love you? Love is not a force. God wants you to choose to love him. That's why he gives you a free will. That's why we preach the gospel. I can't force, and I wouldn't force you if I could. Nobody can force you to be saved. Nobody can force you to love Jesus Christ. Nobody can. God has given each one of us a sense of self-preservation. Even the unsaved, even my dog, my cat, any animal has a sense of dread, of self-preservation. They want to keep living. They have that, and God put that in each one of us. God does not want us to go to hell, and he made us not to want to go to hell. So what does he do? He does that, but he gives the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection from the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. God is holy, and he must punish sin. Every parent knows that. Otherwise, you're going to be raising a bunch of nincompoops. People that don't know right from wrong. You have to teach them right from wrong. And that's why God does that in hell. He says, you're going to go to hell. You're going to avoid that. Why do you look both ways when you go across the street? Because your parents have told you you're going to get run over by that car coming down. You have to understand that there's danger. And that's what God tells us about hell. You don't want to go there. It's not for you. It's not supposed to be for you. There are people in hell. You know that most people go to hell? The Lord Jesus Christ said so. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he said, broad is the road, and wide is the gate that leads to damnation. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. That's where we get the term straight and narrow. Straight, that means it's a narrow place. It's a straight gate. It's difficult. But it's a narrow gate that leads to everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, many are on that broad road that leads to destruction. Most people are not saved, in other words. And the people that are on the narrow gate that choose to be with the Lord Jesus Christ on that narrow gate, do you know why they called him the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Did you know that? Because that's what he's called. The Bible calls him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Because you know why? He left heaven where everything was fine. Everything was wonderful, beautiful, not just okay. It was terrific. He was worshipped of angels and so on. He came down here as a servant, a suffering servant, knowing full well that he would have to die for your sin and my sin. Why does God demand that? Why didn't God just say, everybody, come on in? You'd be in your sins, in your old nature. You only have one nature, and it's a sinful one. And if you died in your sins and you took that into heaven, it would not be heaven anymore. God wants a nice home for himself and for his children. So he says, you weren't born right the first time. We all have a birth defect, sin. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. They'll do it. They'll pick that right up. Birds fly, fish swim, and people sin. That's the way we are until we're born again. That's why the new birth has to happen. You get a new nature. People say, what's that? What's that? I don't want that. What? I like myself. You do? Do you really like yourself the way you are if you're not saved? I couldn't stand myself. I used to talk to God and say, I'm sorry. I did it again. I'm sorry. But I wasn't saved. I knew God saw me. He's God. When I found out my sins could be all washed away, not just the sins that I do now or have done, the sins in my future. How many sins of yours were in the future when the Lord Jesus Christ died? You were in the future. So God is not stuck in time. He's stuck in right now. Everything is right now with him. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us, in your place, in my place, on the cross. Now, I was going to get into the I am's in the Bible, but somehow God led me to give out a gospel message, which is fine. This is a gospel chapel. There's gospel verses on the wall and so on. And wonderful. So sometimes I never really am sure what I'm ready to speak, but I never know what I want to speak on until I actually get up here and start speaking. I have notes. There they are right here. My partner. No, didn't even get into one of them. I'm just telling you, God leads, and what you need to do is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Now is the day of salvation, God says. He wants you to choose not to love him. God is not asking you to love him. He's asking you to believe him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus just as you are and say, don't take a bath, don't take a shower, don't do anything. You come to him as you are. The leper that came to the Lord Jesus Christ did not say, oh boy, I better go change my clothes. I haven't changed my clothes in a couple of years, and I must look a sight. No. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What did the Lord Jesus do? The people that were following the Lord Jesus Christ probably made tracks the other way. But the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of anything or anyone. And he reached out and touched him. He could have spoken, but this leper was alone, and he knew what alone was, and he didn't like being alone. Nobody really wants to be alone. And he reached out and touched that leper and said, I will be thou clean. And immediately that leper was clean of his leprosy. That's how you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you are, you run to him. And you say, Lord, if you will, and the answer is already yes, he will. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what he said, and that's what he means. Come to him, just as you are as a sinner. Say, Lord, save me. And he says, I'll save you. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's God's word. Are you a sinner? Can you stop sinning? Try it. You can't, can you? You can't do it. Freedom from sin. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are so glad for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so glad he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were all lost, Father. Every one of us, we were all lost. Some of us got saved. Thank thee for ever saving us. If anyone here is not saved yet, we ask thee, Father, to come and show them they need to be saved. And then, Father, when they ask, save them. Make them aware of their need of a Savior. For we ask it in the Savior's name. The one who saved us can save them. Father, thank thee for bringing us all together to hear the gospel and to once again thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.